الحمد لله الحمد لله وكفى والصلاة والسلام على عباده الذين اصطفى خصوصا على افضلهم وخاتم النبيين محمد الامين وعلى اله وصحبه اجمعين اما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في بدء سورة المؤمنون اعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم قد افلح المؤمنون الذين هم في صلاتهم خاشعون والذين هم عن اللغو معرضون والذين هم للزكاة فاعلون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم على صلواتهم يحافظون أولئك هم الوارثون الذين يرثون الفردوس هم فيها خالدون وقال تبارك وتعالى كما ورد في وسط سورة المعارج إن الإنسان خلق هلوعا إذا مسه الشر جزوعا وإذا مسه الخير منوعا إلا المصلين الذين هم على صلاتهم دائمون والذين في أموالهم حق معلوم للسائل والمحروم والذين يصدقون بيوم الدين والذين هم من عذاب ربهم مشفقون إن عذاب ربهم غير مأمون والذين هم لفروجهم حافظون إلا على أزواجهم أو ما ملكت أيمانهم فإنهم غير ملومين فمن ابتغى وراء ذلك فأولئك هم العادون والذين هم لأماناتهم وعهدهم راعون والذين هم بشهاداتهم قائمون والذين هم على صلاتهم يحافظون أولئك في جنات مكرمون صدق الله العظيم رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي اللهم ربنا ألهمنا رشدنا وأعذنا من شرور أنفسنا اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم وفقنا لما تحب وترضى اللهم ربنا اجعلنا من عبادك المؤمنين اللهم اجعلنا من عبادك المفلحين آمين يا رب العالمين Dear brothers and sisters and sons and daughters in Islam, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. As you must have noticed that this lesson of ours consists of two places or two passages from the Quran. The first passage which I recited, it consists of the first 11 ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun. It is in the very beginning of the 18th part of the Quran. And the second passage, it is from Surah Al-Ma'arij, ayat 19 to 35. 17 ayat of Surah Al-Ma'arij. You must have noted that there is very similarity in the subjects discussed at both these places. Some of the ayat have been repeated verbatim, not a difference of even a dot. It is actually going to be a very bright example and a very clear manifestation of the basic principle of the exegesis of the Quran which I enunciated. In Arabic we say, Al-Quran yufassiru ba'dahu ba'dha. One part of the Quran explains the other part. You will find several examples in two passages which we are going to study in this lesson. Second point to be noted is that this is the first lesson of the third part of the selected course of study of the Quran that we are discussing and explaining in these sessions, in this series of lectures. This third part of this selected course of study, the title or heading for this third part is Al-Amalu Salih. We saw in the very beginning that there are four conditions for success, four prerequisites for salvation, according to Surah Al-Asr. Wal-Asr, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ لَفِي خُسْرٍ إِلَّا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا وَعَمِلُوا الصَّالِحَاتِ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالْحَقِّ وَتَوَاصَوْا بِالصَّبْرِ. So in the first part of the selected course of study, we had four lessons giving all these four preconditions in most comprehensive way. Although the terminology was different, context was different, but the essence and the essential lesson was the same. Iman, amal salih, tawasi bil haq, tawasi bil sabr. For tawasi bil haq, tawasi bil sabr, we had another term of the Quran, amr bil ma'roof wa nahy anil munkar, wasbir ala ma asabak. Till another term, وَمَنْ أَحْسَنُ قَوْلًا مِمَّنْ دَعَى إِلَى اللَّهِ وَعَمِلَ صَالِحًا. So the terminology is different. The very beautiful saying, the poet said in Urdu, ایک پھول کا مضمو ہو تو سو رنگ سے باغو. One thing can be discussed in many ways, in different words. So actually, Quran has this attribute, this property. This style is very common in the Quran. The same subject discussed over and over again, but in different words, different style, different context. Now what is this Al-Amalu Salih? We must consider this in depth. Up till now we have been translating it by righteous deeds, good deeds, but we have to probe in somewhat depth. What does it mean actually? Al-Amalu Salih. It's made of two words, Al-Amal and As-Salih. Now you know there are two words which are very commonly known, even to those whose mother tongue is Urdu or Persian. Amal and Fi'l. These are two very basic terms of the Arabic language. What's the difference? Fi'l. Any activity, any action, whether voluntary or involuntary, whether requiring any effort or not, anything which is committed, it is fi'l. What is amal? On the contrary, a voluntary action, having an aim, which needs effort, endeavor, labor, which becomes tiresome for the person, this is amal. So there is a world of difference between these two words, fi'l and amal. That's why we find in Surah Al-Ghashiyah, هَلْ أَتَاكَ حَدِيثُ الْغَاشِيَةِ وُجُوهٌ يَوْمَئِذٍ خَاشِعَةٌ عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. On the day of judgment you will find there will be certain faces who will appear to be tired. عَامِلَةٌ نَاصِبَةٌ. So actually, a tiresome work, an activity which entails hard labor, endeavor, an effort, that is called amal. As I told you, opposed to fi'l, any voluntary or involuntary action, whether it has any aim or not, and whether it gives you some effort, it needs some effort or not, it will be termed fi'l. Now what is the meaning of salih? Salaha in Arabic means something which has some ability, potentiality for progress, for thriving, for improvement, which is productive, which is useful, which is appropriate. So Al-Amalu Salih, when you join these two words, is the effort, the endeavor, the hard work, which is needed, number one, to build a healthy human personality. Build the character of a human individual. Number two, to build a healthy society. And number three, to establish a healthy and just social order. The effort starting from the individual. because everything depends upon the individuals. As Iqbal said in Urdu, افراد کے ہاتھوں میں ہے اقوام کی تقدیر, ہر فرد ہے ملت کے مقدر کا ستارہ. If the individuals are reformed, their characters are strong, the society will be a reformed society, a healthy society. The dealings will be based on honesty, fair dealing. But if the individuals, you know, they are corrupt, they are acting impulsively on their animal instincts only, the fate of the society is, so to say, decided. So to build a healthy human personality, number one, to build a healthy society, number two, and finally to establish a just social order, you need an effort. And this effort is al-amalu salih. Because, you know, commonly when we use these words, our mind suddenly goes to only the prayers or salah and psalm. These are the amal salih. That's all. It's a very limited concept of amal salih. Actually, in the beginning, when the wahi started coming to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was still no namaz, no salah, no five prayers a time. There was no psalm. For 15 long years, there was no psalm whatsoever. No concept of psalm, not even name of psalm. No zakah. Nothing haram. Sahaba were taking liquor, everything going on. But the al-amal salih was there. Characters were being built. Strengthening of the will. Actually, this al-amal salih, this we find this word from the very beginning. We find it in Surah Al-Asr, one of the very beginning revelations which came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So we have to rethink about the basic terminology of the Quran. Because our concepts finally, they are based on the basic terminology. Al-amalu salih. And for this, I must refer you to one ayah. It is ayah number 10 of Surah Al-Fatih. This must be memorized. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعُدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ وَالْعَمَلُ الصَّالِحُ يَرْفَعُهُ. A very comprehensive, very profound ayah of the Quran, having a deep philosophical meaning. Two things are needed. Number one, كَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. What you are believing should be correct. Correct belief. Correct philosophy, correct ideology, sound thinking. This sound thinking, correct thought, this has the potential to come up, to grow. إِلَيْهِ, towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, climbs, يَسْعُدُ, سَعَدَ يَسْعُدُ, climb. إِلَيْهِ يَسْعُدُ الْكَلِمُ الطَّيِّبُ. If the thought is correct, if the beliefs are correct, if the ideology is correct, it can potentially go up towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But yet it needs al-amalu salih. Wal-amalu salihu yarfauhu. That effort that is needed. Not only good ideology. Good ideology will not be propagated by itself. It needs people to propagate it. The best ideology which came to Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, it couldn't be propagated by itself. Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam had to take pains. His companions had to put in hard labor. And I told you sometime before that even after 10 years of hardest labor, there were not more than 150 people around Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Hardest labor. So you need two things. Number one, the ideology sound, correct, beliefs which are correct. Number two, the effort, the endeavor, the labor to be put in, to raise it, to take it high. I am just recalling some words of a poem which I read in my school days. They build a nation's pillar deep and lift them to the sky. This is how these buildings are constructed. Deep foundation, and then they are. They build a nation's pillars deep and lift them to the sky. In the same way,
correct thought, but with it, hard labor, hard work, hard endeavor. Then only it will go up and up and up. And I have given you four levels of that. Upward movement, first of all, individuals to be prepared, their character strengthened, their morality raised. Then it will by itself result in a healthy society. Then actually on the society is based the state and the social order. So this is actually al-amal al-salih, which we shall be discussing inshallah in this lesson of ours. What I have told you, the logical result is that we shall be discussing this amal al-salih in this third part of our selected course of study of the Quran at four levels. Number one, individual character building. What are the foundations of a sound human character? According to the Quran. Number two, healthy family life. This is the beginning of the social order. Individuals, they form a family. One man, one woman, becoming husband and wife, the foundation of family is laid. Now there are children, so second dimension is added. And so on. And between those children, brotherhood, akhuwa, that's the third dimension. And you know the structure of a family is complete. So a healthy family. What are the directives of the Quran regarding a healthy family life? Number three, concept of social values, which must be promoted. This concept varies from society to society. What are the values of an Islamic society according to the Quran, which have to be promoted? And the concept of social evils, which must be eradicated. This concept also changes, varies from society to society. Maybe in one society, something is taken to be evil. And the word is used here, permissive society. Those things which in our part of the world are considered to be very evil. It's a permissive society. Nothing wrong with it. A young boy, young girl embracing each other, kissing each other on the roadside. No harm. And you can't imagine of it. At least in Pakistan. So there are certain values, norms of every society. So actually, what is the concept of social values which are to be promoted in the Islamic society or Muslim society? And what is the concept of social evil which must be eradicated from the society according to the Quran? And lastly, at the highest level, fundamentals of Islamic state. And how to keep the Muslim Ummah strengthened, united, strong. These are the four levels. Now we are starting the discussion at the first level. But here again you will find that we shall be discussing it at two sub-levels, so to say. First of all, the first lesson that comprises of these 11 ayat of Suratul Mu'minun and 17 ayat of Suratul Ma'arij. This lesson gives you the foundations, the cornerstones of character building according to the Quran. They are the fundamentals. And the second lesson will consist of the last section of Ruku of Suratul Furqan. It gives us a portrait, a picture of a character of a mu'min which is fully reformed, fully constructed, with architectural touches, beauty. And this mature banda-e-mu'min, mature personality, the glimpses of a mature mu'min that we will find in our second lesson of this part, and that is وَعِبَادُ الرَّحْمَنِ الَّذِينَ يَمْشُونَ عَلَى الْأَرْضِ هَوْنًا وَإِذَا خَاطَبَهُمُ الْجَاهِلُونَ قَالُوا سَلَامًا. That's the passage which will be the second lesson of this section. Now we begin with the first discussion of this third part, and that is the fundamental principles of the character building or the foundations of the character of a Muslim in the light of the first 11 ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun and the resembling 17 ayat of Surah Al-Ma'arij. Let us begin. قَدْ أَفْلَحَ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ. Verily, the Mu'mins have succeeded. But here I propose to have a detailed discussion on the concept of falah. What does it mean in the Quran? Because for success we have so many terms in the Quran. Rushd, أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الرَّاشِدُونَ. Then we have falls. أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. لَا يَفْتَوِي أَصْحَابُ النَّارِ وَأَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ أَصْحَابُ الْجَنَّةِ هُمُ الْفَائِزُونَ. But the most common word is مُفْلِحُونَ. Once this word has already occurred in our selected course of study, we found in the last part of Surah Al-Taghabun, وَمَنْ يُوقَ شُحَّ نَفْسِهِ فَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. Whosoever is saved from the greed of his baser self, only such people are to be مُفْلِحُونَ. Successful. There I translated only with one word, successful. And if you remember, if you can recall, I said that we shall discuss this word fully when we are studying the first lesson of our third part. What is falah? First of all, please note, I gave you a term before also, fiqhul lugha, the deep understanding of the language. In Arabic you will find that the words which have common roots or resembling roots or the same letters in the three-lettered roots, they have common meanings also. They resemble with each other. For example, I can quote here about a dozen words starting with fa. Falaha. Falaha means to cut. Falaqa. Falaq. Qul a'udhu bi rabbil falaq. Again, this word has been used in the Quran for the seeds when they are opened. And the fajr, falaq al-subh, when the darkness has been cut and you see that the first light, first rays of fajr are appearing. Faraq. Faraq means to separate something, divide. Fatr, futur. Hal tara min futur. Do you see any gap? Farji' al-basara. Again see to our heavens. ثُمَّ ارْجِعِ الْبَصَرَ كَرَّتَيْنِ يَنْقَلِبْ إِلَيْكَ الْبَصَرُ خَاسِئًا وَهُوَ حَسِيرٌ. You won't find any gap anywhere. فَقَرَ. To break. Iftar is to break your fast. So all these words. فَقَّ. فَقُّ رَقَبَةٍ. To untie the bondage of slavery. فَجْ. فَجْ is the deep, you know, valley between two mountains. Just like a gap. Farah. When somebody, you see, is bursting with happiness. All these words have something common. Something breaking up, being separated. Now what is falah? Falah is the farmer in Arabic language. The farmer's movement in Egypt is called falahin, the movement of the falahin. Why? Because a tiller of the land breaks the earth with his plow. He's breaking. He's cutting it into two parts. The crust of the earth. And then there is a saying in the Arabic language, إِنَّ الْحَدِيدَ بِالْحَدِيدِ يُفْلَحُ. Iron can be cut by iron only. Wood cannot cut iron. But iron can cut iron. إِنَّ الْحَدِيدَ بِالْحَدِيدِ يُفْلَحُ. So exact meaning, literal meaning of this word falah is to cut open something. Now how does it apply to success? What does it mean? The basic philosophy of the Quran is that human personality is a compound personality. It has two components. An animal component and a spiritual component. You may call it the human component, or the divine component, or the angelic component. Two aspects of human personality. Every human being is a full complete animal also. All the instincts that the animals have, we also have. Preservation of the self. Preservation of the species. All sexual, this sexual urge. What for? Preservation of the species. Why do we eat? Why do we drink? Why do we take water? Why do we need rest? Preservation of the self. Herd instinct. To live together. All these instincts are present in the animals. We do have them. So in every human being, a full animal is also present. But human being is not only an animal. It has one thing else also. Additional aspect of its existence. That's the spirit. The divine spirit. وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي When I have blown into him from my own spirit, فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ At two places in the Quran, in Surah Al-Hijr and Surah Al-Sad, this ayah comes. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has said to the angels, I'm going to create a human being out of clay. إِنِّي خَالِقٌ بَشَرًا مِّنْ صَلْصَالٍ مِّنْ حَمَئٍ مَسْنُونَ فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ When I have completed his creation and given him the final touches and then blown into him from my own spirit, نَفَقْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ Then you go down before him prostrating. So this is the second aspect of human personality. That is why a very beautiful couplet in Persian from Shaykh Sadi rahimahullah. Aadmi zada turfa maajunas. As farishta sarishta was haiwan. This human being is a unique complex, compound personality. In every human being there is an animal and a farishta, angel. The angels also were created out of noor, as I told you. The clear hadith from Hazrat Aisha, Ummul Mumineen, رضي الله تعالى عنها. And it is there in the Sahih of Imam Muslim. And Allah created the angels out of light. So these angels and human spirits, they come from the same source. But this is actually the compound nature of human personality. Aadmi zada turfa maajunast is a unique compound. As farishta sarishta was haiwan. There's an animal here as well as a farishta. An angel is there. So what is that? The divine or the spiritual or the angelic aspect of our personality, which in the terms of the Quran is the ruh. يَسْأَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحَ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي The philosophers call it the self. The khudi. Allama Iqbal has termed it khudi. In Arabic, ana. When I say, my eyes, this my is a possessive mood of the pronoun I. I and my. My hands, my feet. Then I say, my body. Who is that I who owns this body? He is something else. When I say my spectacles, my pen, this pen is something else. I am something else. I possess this pen, my book, my house, my car, so on. My hands, my feet, my eyes, my ears, my body. Who is that I who possesses this body? That is the inner self. That is the khudi, that is the ana. But it is like the inner self is wrapped, is surrounded and wrapped in the material sheets of our animal existence. Allama Iqbal was once asked by Sayyid Nazir Niyazi. He was one of his disciples and one of his, so to say, sharih also. He asked Allama Iqbal, Some people say your philosophy has been derived from Nietzsche. Some say there is some other source. What do you say about your own philosophy? He said, come tomorrow at such and such time and I'll dictate to you, the source of my philosophy. He says, when I went, and I was very happy, that I am so lucky, I am going to have this chance, that the philosopher-poet of the East, or philosopher-poet of Islam, he has given me the honor that I'll be writing down, I'll be taking dictation from him. He will telling me what's the source of his philosophy. When he reached there, he was ready with his pencil and notebook. The Allama said, take that copy of the Quran, open Surah Al-Hashr, and he referred to this ayah. وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. He said, this is the source of my philosophy of self. Don't be like those who forgot Allah, who ignored Allah, forgot Allah. And Allah made them unmindful of their own selves. Verily, such people are the fusaq and fujjar, the morally low people, the wrongdoers. What does it mean? Does anybody forget his own body? Is there any person? Do you ever forget to eat, take your meals? The requirement of your body are always before you. If the body is ill, you are running after doctors and hospitals to get a cure, some treatment. Nobody in this world is forgetful or unmindful of his body, of his animal existence. We are running to the east, to the west. We are leaving those stone unturned to fulfill the demands of our body, our animal existence. Who are they? وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنفُسَهُمْ. Which nafs they have forgotten? That's the real self within them. That's the ruh within them. That's the divine aspect, or the spiritual aspect, or the angelic aspect of their personality that they are ignoring. They are unmindful of it. They have just forgotten. And the same wisdom. Now let me quote the hadith of the Prophet first. Al-hikmatu dallatul mu'min. Wisdom is just like a lost property of mu'min. Huwa ahakku biha haythu wajadaha. He has more right to have it, take it, wherever he finds it. Now this saying of Upanishad. Man in his ignorance identifies himself with the material sheets which encompass his real self. The real self, the real human self, the real spiritual aspect of our existence. On the basis of that aspect, Adam became the Khalifatullah. Inni ja'ilun fil ardi khalifa. All the angels were ordered, commanded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to prostrate before him. فَإِذْقُلْنَا لِلْمَلَائِكَةِ اسْجُدُوا لِآدَمَ فَسَجَدُوا إِلَّا إِبْلِيسَ. Was it on the basis of his animal being? This animal existence? No. I have quoted you the ayah from Surah Al-Hijr, Surah Al-Saad. فَإِذَا سَوَّيْتُهُ وَنَفَخْتُ فِيهِ مِنْ رُوحِي. When I have completed his creation and have blown into him from my own spirit, then fall before him in prostration. فَقَعُوا لَهُ سَاجِدِينَ. And Quran says, فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. All the angels, including Jibreel and Mikael and Israfil and Israel, no exception. فَسَجَدَ الْمَلَائِكَةُ كُلُّهُمْ أَجْمَعُونَ. That is the status, that's the level of that inner self that we have within us, which is divine in its origin. It's the spiritual aspect of our existence, but we have forgotten it. our body and bodily needs. Running here and there, working day and night, only to fulfill the needs, bodily needs, the animal needs of ourselves and our family.
وَلَا تَكُونُوا كَالَّذِينَ نَسُوا اللَّهَ فَأَنْسَاهُمْ أَنْفُسَهُمْ أُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ.
Man in his ignorance identifies himself with the material sheath. These are the wrappings around that real self. That real self is within you. The apparent is your animal being. Your hands, your legs, you can run. All these organs. Common between you and a horse and an ass. He also needs something to eat to support him. He also needs. Even the small bird needs some nest to rest during the night. We also need some house, some roof over our heads. All the animals, they have the sexual desire. And this is for the preservation of the species. So do we have. Every living being requires rest for rejuvenation, revitalization of the energy. So do we need rest. What's the difference? A complete animal, but not only an animal, something absolutely different. And that's the qualitative difference between animal and man. It's not only quantitative. People today think, most of the people, that there's only a quantitative difference between the chimpanzee or gorilla and man. That's all. Just as between horse and donkey. Donkey is a coarse type of animal and horse is a refined type of animal. What's the difference? It's not qualitative, it's quantitative. The same is the difference between the chimpanzee and the gorilla and man. No difference. This is the biggest misguidedness of humanity. Man is an animal, no doubt. But there is another aspect of his personality. Absolutely different, fundamentally different, basically different, different in origin. This body comes from clay. And that ruh came from Allah. What a world of difference. This body, when it is exhausted, it needs food. Where from does that food come? From this very clay from which our body has come. All the grains, all the food. Whether you are eating the meat of a goat, which is the final source of that meat of the goat? It is also eating the grass and so on. Everything coming from this clay, this crust of the earth. Our animal existence coming from that, and the food, rejuvenation, that also coming from there. And that soul of ours, that spirit of ours, that ruh of ours, coming from Allah. يَسَلُونَكَ عَنِ الرُّوحِ قُلِ الرُّوحُ مِنْ أَمْرِ رَبِّي. And the food for it also comes from there, and that is the word of God. The kalamullah is the food. It revitalizes our spirit. It rejuvenates our spirit. When it is exhausted, when it is tired, you need new energy, fresh energy. You will find it not from the best of the foods that you can take. That food might be very nourishing for your body, but not for your soul, not for your spirit. The only rejuvenation, revitalization for your spirit can come from the same source. The source of our ruh is Allah. And the food that it needs comes from Him. That's the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Now what's the problem with human being? Because the needs of this body are felt immediately. When you are hungry, there are hunger pains. You feel it. You run about to satisfy this hunger. When you are thirsty, you feel you'll die. You run about to find water, to quench it. But the needs of our spirits, they keep ignored. They are thrown back. Now actually what is falah? To dig out your own real personality from the heap or debris of this animal existence and then develop it. Just as a seed bursts and out of it comes two small leaves. And that is the beginning of a plant or a tree. Even a mango tree, the nut that breaks, and out come two small leaves. And then it goes up and up, it becomes a tree. You have to split your personality, human, this animal side of it, and dig out. That's why one of the translators in Urdu, Shaykh Mahmudul Hasan Rahimahullah, Shaykh al-Hind, he has very beautifully translated and given the essence of this word. Kaam nikal le gaye ahle iman. Nikal le jana. As if there is a treasure somewhere, you have to dig it out. Treasure is there. You have to dig it out. The oil is there. You have to do the drilling to get it out. In the same way, you have it within you. I wonder whether any one of you can appreciate Hindi poetry. That's a very beautiful couplet. Bhika bhuka koi nahi. Sabki gathri lal. Gira khol jane nahi is vidbae kangal. No human being is hungry or without the wealth. Every human being has the pearl of that divine roof within him. You know what is gathri? What would you call it in English?
Abundance.
Abundance. It's tied up. Only you have to open the mouth of that bundle. And whosoever doesn't know that I have a pearl, I have very precious pearl in my bundle, he will be begging others. He doesn't know. In his own pocket he has that pearl. Bhika is the poet. Bhik. Bhika, bhuka, koi nahi. No one is hungry. No one is without this wealth. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given this wealth, this roof, to every human being. Bhika, bhuka, koi nahi, sabki gathri lal. That pearl is there. Gira khol jane nahi. They don't know how to open, you know, the knot which is binding that bundle. This vid bae kangal, and that's why they have become poor. To open the knot is falaha. Qad aflaha al-mu'minun. Mu'mins actually have opened the knot of their animal personality, dug out their real, essential human personality, and that is the ruh, and then to develop it. Just as the nut of a mango tree, is it the correct word for that gushli? The nut of the mango tree opens, and from there you have two leaves, and they grow, and they go to make the full mango tree. In the same way, you have to open, you have to dig out that real essence within you, your spiritual existence, and then develop it. And this is called falah. Now let us compare it with the other lesson. How is it discussed in Suratul Ma'arij? Innal insana khuliqa halua. Halua means impatient, weak of will, weak of determination. There are people who have strong will. Whatever they want to do, they can do it. Come what may. There are certain people who have weak personalities. They are very weak of determination. They want to do something but can't do it. They want to give up smoking, can't give it up. They want to do it. They know it's injurious, it's harmful. But they can't give it up. They are slaves of their habits. I recall another poem that I read. It gives a very beautiful picture of the habits which one develops during his youth. And then later on, he becomes a prisoner within the cage of those habits. I built these bars when I was young. I built these bars around me, this cage of habits. I built them when my body was strong. Now I want to get out of this cage. I can't. My muscles are weak. I can't bend the bars of the cage. So in the same way, people who are weak of determination, hala, impatient. Innal insana khuliqa halua. Verily insan, man, human being, has been created weak or weak of determination, impatient. Now there must come before the mind of at least those who do think something about Quran. Quran says on the one side, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. We created man at the best level, highest level. خَلَقْتُهُ بِيَدَيَّا. At another place, Allah says, I have created man with both of my hands. This man, before whom all the angels were prostrated. But here Quran is saying, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوَا. And if you want to note another ayah, Surah An-Nisa, ayah 28. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. Man has been created very weak. Another ayah, if you like, you can note. 37 of Surah Al-Anbiya. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. He is always in haste. Man has been created out of his nature is built so that he is always in haste. He wants something to do immediately. Now these are the weak points of the weak aspects of human personality. Isn't there an apparent contradiction? Be bold enough. If somebody says, this contradiction in the Quran, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ خَلَقْتُهُ بِيَدَيَّ وَلَقَدْ كَرَّمْنَا بَنِي آدَمَ وَحَمَلْنَاهُ فِي الْبَرِّ وَالْبَحْرِ وَرَزَقْنَاهُ مِنَ الطَّيِّبَاتِ وَفَضَّلْنَاهُ عَلَى كَثِيرٍ مِمَّنْ خَلَقْنَا تَفْضِيلًا. On the one side, on the other side, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ مِنْ عَجَلٍ. There is definitely an apparent contradiction. How to resolve it? The only way to resolve is what I've already told you. Human personality is a compound personality. About one aspect, spiritual aspect, لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ تَقْوِيمٍ. It was on the basis of that aspect that all the angels were ordered to prostrate before him. He is the supreme, he is the highest. But his bodily existence, his animal being, his material existence, it has all the weaknesses. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا. How weak we are than the lions, than the elephants. Even our sight, compared to some of the birds, some of the animals, who can see without light? He can't see without light. خُلِقَ الْإِنسَانُ ضَعِيفًا إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا. Now there is a explanation of this hala. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. When some calamity falls him, he shouts in lamentation. He weeps and cries. جَزَعْ فَزَعْ. إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And when some good fortune comes to him, he wants to withhold. He doesn't take the courage of sharing it with others. مَنُوعًا. Keep it with him, lest anybody else shares it. This is the manifestation of the weakness of his will, the weakness of his character. خُلِقْ إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. Now there is a need of consolidation of his character, building of his character, strengthening of his will. And that is actually what we call falah. It will only be possible if you develop your inner personality. You develop your khudi. You develop your soul, your spirit, your spiritual existence. Then this weaker side of your personality, it will be overcome by the higher and stronger side of your personality. And that is actually what we call falah. Dig out your inner personality from the sheaths, material sheaths which are covering them. develop it. إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. There is an exception of those who fulfill these conditions, who take to these exercises. Now please let me say one thing more. This animal existence of ours, if you want to build your body, if you want to build your muscles, bodybuilding, don't you need strenuous exercises? Do you know the strenuous exercises that these bodybuilders have to undergo? How much hard work? Labor. To build their muscles. To build this body. Do you think that the inner self doesn't need any exercise to build it? It doesn't need any effort to build it? To strengthen it? If wrestlers and boxers and bodybuilders, they are practicing and they are exercising and they are spending their time all the time doing very strenuous and hard exercises only to build their muscles, only to build their body. So there must be some exercises in order to build your inner personality, your ana, your khudi. This is what Iqbal calls tamir-e-dat, tamir-e-khudi. Construction of your personality. Iqbal says, خام ہے جب تک تو ہے مٹی کا ایک امبار تو پختہ ہو جائے تو ہے شمشیر بے زنہار تو. Till such time that you are خام, you are just like a heap of clay. But when you have been strengthened, پختہ ہو جائے تو ہے شمشیر بے زنہار تو, then you become a sword. با نشہ درویشی درساز و دما دم زن کیوں پختہ شوی خود را بر سلطنت جم زن. پختہ شوی. You have to strengthen yourself. You have to strengthen your personality. Strengthen your will. Strengthen your khudi. Strengthen your inner self. Strengthen your spiritual existence. And for that, you need exercises. What are those exercises? That is the subject of these 11 ayat. That is the subject of the 17 ayat of Surah Al-Ma'arij and 11 ayat of Surah Al-Mu'minun. What you have to do? What are the cornerstones? What are the courses that you have to take? What are the exercises that are essential if you want to build your inner personality? If you want to build yourself, the real self within you. Man in his ignorance, again please note, man in his ignorance identifies himself with the material sheets, which encompasses real self. Real self is something within you. These, you know, your body is like a material sheet which is covering it. You have up till now all the time caring this body, never thought of developing your inner personality. If you want to develop it, if you want to have real falah, you have to undergo certain exercises, and those will be discussed inshallah in the next session.
بارك الله لي ولكم في القرآن العظيم ونفعني وإياكم بالآيات والذكر الحكيم.